This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Oh, I'm jumping the gun there. I'm excited. Our show today will include Senator Brad Hawkins. He is about to launch his listening tour. We'll get to that in the second half hour of the program. But we continue with a little focus on fair season. It is almost time for the Chelan County Fair. In fact, next Thursday we'll be out at the fairgrounds with the agenda live on opening day. And Karen Welch, the fair manager, joins us today. So you got about a week to go. Busy over there. We're glad we could pull you away in studio today with all the last-minute preparations.
Thank you for having me. Always glad to be here and promote the fair and let people know that it's coming up and how to enter.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions you get, from pioneer days to modern ways. That's the 2019 theme for Chelan County Fair this year.
That's correct.
So we were visiting out in the lobby, and you say you're just checking your email. You get, that's one of the main questions you get is, how do I enter, you know, an item, or for folks that are kind of new to the fair? So how do they do that if they still want to, you know, submit an entry into maybe one of the different, maybe they've got a painting or a craft or an item that they'd like to show off?
It's really simple. Wednesday, September 4th, is our entry day. So you'd bring your entries during the day from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. There'll be people to help you in the buildings where you would take your exhibit. The great part about being an exhibitor at our fair is that you can exhibit for free, but if you want to attend, you can purchase an exhibitor pass that day. So it's discounted. So for adults, it's only $12, and then for youth, it's $7. So that gets you into fair all 4 days for that price. So you have to understand that that's your admission. Then it would get you into the rodeo and then the Friday night concert. So $12, that's like, what, $3 a day to come to fair every day?
Yeah, because you're an exhibitor, so you're getting a great deal.
You're getting
deal
a
there.
Discount.
Yeah, good deal there. So if I've, if I like to enter my pie, I've baked up a great apple pie, or I've got some good-looking apples that I've grown up. I've got an early variety or want to, because that's one of my favorite things to look at is all the displays of fruit. That's just kind of one of my favorite things to take a look at when I go out to Chelan County Fair.
Well, you should, because that's what we're known for.
Yeah. So you bring them out on Wednesday then?
You bring them on Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m.
What if I have an 800-pound pumpkin?
Okay. Well, we'd prefer you give us a call ahead of time so we can have the forklift ready, but we can handle that. You bring it in on a flatbed. Some type of probably a pallet, because you've had to load it yourself, and we can get it unloaded and display it, and the big pumpkins are always a hit.
There you go. So so next Wednesday is going to be a buzz of activity out at the Chelan County Fair, I'd imagine.
It is. All the animals start coming in at noon, get their vet check, and then put into the barns. And then earlier in the morning and throughout the rest of the day is when the rest of the exhibitors with what we call still life will be coming in and checking in with their superintendents in their buildings and getting all those displays set up.
So how do you know if you're going to have enough pig pens, for instance, for all the hogs?
Okay.
Who figures that all out?
Well, animals that are 4-H and FFA do have to pre-register. Open class also needs to pre-register and let us know. So then we give those numbers to the superintendent. The hog pens are already up. Saturday they'll be doing the sheep and the goats. So that gives us a head count of the animals, so we're prepared for them when they walk through the gate.
So it's organized chaos, I guess, probably.
Oh,
is
always,
that a fair way to say it?
Always, yes.
Interesting. Why is the fair important? It's important for us to know where our food and our livestock and but it's also very educational to see all the different. I find it fascinating to see all the different kinds of poultry that there is, for instance.
Well, my opinion, I mean, fair is important. Obviously, it does educate youth and kids as to where food comes from, how it's produced, how it gets to market. There's a lot more into it than just, you know, putting a pig out in your backyard. So there's a lot more science that goes into agriculture these days and also into the raising of animals. Fair's also extremely important. That's a great place to showcase efforts and crafts and creativity and things you've been doing all year long that you have gifts or talents in. I mean, we have a section in our fair book for just about anything. If you have a collection of thimbles, or it doesn't matter what you have a collection of, you can pretty much bring it to the fair. I say if you make it, you can bake it, you can take it to the fair type of thing. So we just encourage people to, on the website, you can look through the exhibitor guide. You can find probably just a department for almost everything and anything out there.
So you kind of touched on something important, and that is that it is important in terms of let's talk about funding for the fair. And it's important that we come to the fair, obviously, and pay our ticket price and come in the fair, because you're generally self-sustaining. A lot of the success of the fair and that it continues is obviously our ticket price. You do get some funding for what are called, we were talking out in the lobby, fair premiums. Basically, if I win a blue ribbon, I get a little bit of a fair premium. But explain a little bit how that whole premium process works and why it's important that people participate by having entries in the fair.
Okay, so we do receive some funding from the Washington State Department of Agriculture. And that funding goes towards what's called premium money, also trophies and ribbons. Every other year, our fair is judged by a state commissioner that comes through and gives us points for different areas. So the better our fair does with exhibits, with adult exhibits, youth exhibits, and also our attendance, the better our money from the Department of Agriculture is. So, for example, if you're a youth and you enter something, each blue ribbon is worth so many points, which equates to a dollar amount. So with youth, they are issued a premium check regardless what the amount is. With adults, your premium check needs to be $5 or more, and then the fair board will issue you a premium check. So in essence, you enter enough items at the Chelan County Fair, you get a check back. You get paid to exhibit at the fair. So the better our fair does, like I said, the better our funding from the Department of Agriculture is. Other than that, we are self-sustaining. So we derive our income from portions of proceeds from our carnival and from our gates, which is our attendance, obviously, and from camping with the 4-H and FFAers, stall fees, that type of thing. So that's where our funding comes from, basically from people attending and participating in the fair.
New this year, you've got a new beef barn.
We do.
Tell us about that.
We do. So the old one was literally a pole barn with the pole still had the bark, even though it was painted bark, and it really needed to come down. It was in disrepair. It was one of the last buildings that did not collapse throughout one of the winters. So through a grant that I wrote through the Department of Agriculture and some money and also funding that the expo budget and the fair budget had, we were able to build a brand-new beef barn. It's a 50 by 100, wonderful building to accommodate hopefully a growing steer exhibit. So right now we have the steer will be in there and also their show arena.
Okay, so do you get any money at all from Chelan County? It's the Chelan County Fair. Does the county fund the fair at all?
Well, the REIT is from the real estate excise tax, and that's given to the counties, and that's for capital improvements. So that's where some of our funding came for this barn. So when it comes to capital, major capital improvement projects, we are funded and helped through that. But the day-to-day operating expenses and the things that it takes to put on the Chelan County Fair, we are self-sustaining. So bringing in our entertainment, that's a big portion of our budget. And so we have lots of entertainment this year, a great variety of entertainment.
And it all starts next Thursday. So next Thursday, during a good portion of the day, if you are 62 and older, you will be honored with free admission up until, I think it's 4 p.m. on Thursday, next Thursday.
That is, and we're able to do that because we have sponsors like Dr. Joel Cummings, and we have Blossom Valley Assisted Living and Blossom Creek Memory Care. And because of their generosity, then we're able to give free entrance to our seniors till 4 p.m. And then Friday, it's the same thing we have. It's now called Agrication Day, which is for youth, a free day from opening till 2, where we do a lot of educating on the agricultural industry with the youth that come through. And then that's sponsored by Crunch Pack. So they help us there, so we're able to do a free day for the kids that
come. For kids up till 2 p.m.
Up till 2 p.m.
That's Thursday and Friday. Full 4 days of great entertainment. Mm-hmm. If you go to the website, ChelineCountyFair.com, you're going to want to go to the fair schedules tab or the entertainment section. What are some of the fun entertainment acts that folks are going to want to make sure they catch?
Our biggest thing is Friday night. Joe Diffie's coming to put on a concert. I think he hits the stage at 7:30. And that's Farmers Hill Insurance and Microsoft have helped put on that concert. And it's free with your admission to the fair. So if you're an adult, you come in, you do $10 admission, you can come to Joe Diffie's concert. We have the rodeo is Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. So there's also the FFA 4-H auction. That's on Saturday at 10 a.m. But some of the other entertainment we have, Aussie Kingdom, which is going to be animals from down under. We're going to have some mutton busting. We've got several bands from the Nash Brothers, Red House, Marlon James Band. We still have the Kids Zone, which is free once they get into the Kids Zone with lots of different activities for youth. I think the train display, we have a model train display. I think it has grown to 70 feet in the building now.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. They feature, see the USA by rail, and then they have a lot of different landmarks that you would see throughout our area here in Wenatchee, Chelan, even up to Okanagan.
Yeah, it makes you want to go out and buy at least a model train to put around the Christmas tree. It always like, I need to get a model train around the Christmas tree this year when you see that each September. And then there's Carnival wristbands, always the best way to go, but you get a presale right now, discount.
It's presale.
There goes a police car down the alley right beside our radio station. Something's going on there.
It's pre-sale right now. So, that's just for a limited time. They're 22. So that lets you ride on one specific day of your choice, all day for $22.
And maybe here comes another one. So, you can tell we're live. They're chasing somebody. There's an ambulance going down there too as well. So, anyway, we'll have to go investigate here. If you save $7 if you purchase your wristband early. We're getting caught up in the excitement here. The Carnival wristband, so you can just go ride all the rides, without having to,
pay individual tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just makes it so much easier for mom and dad.
And much more affordable.
Yeah, save it. Do you buy those online or where do you buy those?
You can get those at the fair office. They are, also at Martin's Market in Cashmere, Dan's in Leavenworth, and the Wild Bird Store here in Wenatchee on 5th Street.
Also, the Valley Feed Organics in Chelan, Big River Freight in Wenatchee as well, and Wild Birds Unlimited as well. I think we got them all, Martin's Market in Cashmere, if we didn't mention that. So
One more thing I was going to mention, Dave, is and we can still take some registration if people want to get online or give us a call, is I think it's our 6th annual wiener dog race, and we could always use a few more dogs to race. We actually have a group of people that come over from the other side of the mountains to race over here with their dogs. And it's like a $5 entry fee that lets two people in the gate with the dog, and it's cash prize.
Wonderful. Ellensburg has had one, and we've been wondering about where's the wiener dog race in the Wenatchee area? And what do you know? At the Chelan County Fair. There you go. You know when that is?
That's Saturday at noon. The dogs will be racing Saturday at noon.
Okay. So
still time to sign up for that. Give us a call at the fair office, and we'll help you out with the registration.
Okay. Well, we'll see you out at the fair on Thursday with the agenda. We're going to be live there. By the way, I've got about a half dozen copies of Images of America, The History of Cashmere, written by Elbert and Brender, with the foreword, by the way, by Ray Schmitten. This is amazing photographic history of the Cashmere area. We're going to be giving these away at our broadcast location right on the fairgrounds. So we'll be out there Thursday. We'll spend a couple minutes with you talking as well on opening day. So you'll see us out there if you come out on opening day. What are the general hours for the Chelan County Fair this year?
So on Thursday, it's 9 to 9, and then Friday, it's 9 to 10, Saturday, 9 to 10, and then Sunday is 9 to 5. But the carnival runs till midnight on Friday and I believe midnight on Saturday.
Okay. It's all there for you on the website, ChelanCountyFair.com. If you go to the website, you'll see everything you need to know about the 2019 Chelan County Fair. And, again, I love the theme this year. It's From Pioneer Days to Modern Ways for 2019. And Karen Welch, the Chelan County Fair manager, joining us. Any final thought before we let you sneak on back and take care of those final details?
It's not too late to enter fair. That's going to be Wednesday the 4th. Bring your entries out. We'd love to have you come and participate in fair. You're going to have a great time.
Okay. Have a wonderful run, and we'll see you next Thursday on opening day.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. News Radio 560 KPQ. We're going to talk about the listening tour about to get underway next week with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. He's our guest next.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins is here because it's time for, believe it or not, your third annual listening tour. That took me a little bit off guard because you mentioned that third annual.
Yeah,
I remember the first one. I thought this was the second year, so already third annual. Wow.
Yeah, I guess time flies when you're having fun.
But it must be working, right?
Yeah, it's actually working really well. It was an idea that I came up with soon after I got elected to the state senate in 2016. I took office in 2017. We have this idea of doing a little something different. We have a really large district. It's very diverse. It's actually part of, two entire counties, Chelan and Douglas, and then part of Grant and about half of Okanagan County to the Canadian border. So just a lot of ground to cover, and we thought, let's come up with a unique and different way of connecting with people. And so being a good listener and being accessible to the people who elect me is really important to me, and I really wanted to, get a chance to hear from people in their communities where they are. I'm based out of Wenatchee and East Wenatchee, so I spend obviously a lot of time here. That's where the population base is. But I want everybody in the 12th District to feel strongly represented. And so that's part of the idea with the listening tour. So this is the third year. We've, traveled all throughout all four of the counties in the tour, and we're going to many of the same stops this year, but we're adding on some new ones. There's a few, for example, like Stehekin and I think Brewster, Nespelem, Intiat. There's a few that we haven't yet gotten to, but that's how big the district is. Really large, really geographically diverse. And the good thing about having a listening tour and going to all these different communities to hear directly from people is you get to hear that diversity of opinions of the district. There are some similar issues like tourism and agriculture, whether it's Metau Valley, Leavenworth, Lake Chelan, but then there's different issues too based on the communities.
Do you do it? In fact, I'm looking at a kind of a photograph that accompanied kind of the news release that the tour dates and locations. Do you do it kind of town hall style, or more kind of sitting around in a big room and just gather around a table and share, have everyone kind of bounce ideas off each other about? I kind of was thinking about that, and here's my feeling on that, and you just listen. How does the format work?
Well, it's structured pretty well. What we found is very effective. They're not town hall meetings, but they're separate appointments, and we go to all these different communities. We have scheduled times that we're there, and we meet with a variety of groups. So some of the groups are larger groups. That particular group was the Chelan Douglas Land Trust, who brought almost their entire board. I thought that met with me at the Confluence Technology Center in Wenatchee. But sometimes we meet with a school superintendent from a community. Sometimes it's an elected official like a city council person. But other times, it's just your regular constituent that has a thought or concern, question about state government. And what I do is not only is it me and I'm taking notes and I'm listening, but we also have my legislative staff from Olympia, and we bring over issue specialists that can hear directly from us. So it's nice to have an extra set of ears or two to listen, to do the listening, but also it's nice to have to bring those resources from Olympia to these different communities. So if constituents have questions, that either we can try to answer them there, or if the questions require research, then we can do that and follow up. Sometimes we get ideas about legislation. And in Leavenworth, for example, in the first listening tour, one of the ideas related to disposing of brush and yard waste actually led to me working closely with City of Leavenworth officials and introducing legislation that eventually made its way all the way through the process and was signed into law by the governor. We also hiked. We finished the listening tours with a community hike. And the first time we did that was up Saddle Rock, and almost 100 people showed up for that, which was beyond my wildest expectations. But during that hike, I learned about another issue involving Saddle Rock soil remediation, and we ended up getting funding in the next budget to do that, and that work is actually ongoing right now. And then last year, we were up in Twisp, and a constituent who's an avid winter fisherman expressed concern about access to a really popular fishing lake for the winter up in Okanagan County. And it turns out, because I followed up with WDFW and the Department of Natural Resources, that they had an issue paving the road there plowing the road in the winter because the road was deteriorating, and that led to decreased access to this popular fishing location. So as a result of the listening tour, we were able to secure funding in the budget to improve that quarter mile of a roadway to that fishing lake in Okanagan County, and that's going to be done this next year too, as a result of an idea and feedback I received from a constituent just last fall. So sometimes during the listening tour, the ideas lead to legislation, and sometimes it's just good to get feedback from constituents about, you know, their ideas about state government and their opinions, so that when I go over there to Olympia next January, I'm prepared to make the best decisions I can, the most informed decisions for our district.
So what can people do at this point? Should they get in touch with your office and kind of make an appointment to be at one of the predetermined dates and locations to participate? Is that the call to action at this point?
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. We still have some slots available. Like I said, we actually added an extra day this year because of the response. It's been pretty heartwarming and sometimes overwhelming to try to accommodate the people who want to meet with us every year, because it's actually been growing. But there are some slots available, and depending on people's location, that's the good thing about spreading out the listening tour throughout all these different communities, is you don't have to drive 2 or 3 hours over 2 mountain passes in the middle of winter in Olympia to, you know, spend 15 minutes with me. We try to bring it to your community. So based on where your listeners are, you know, there might be a stop that's close to them. So encourage them to contact my office or contact us by email. You know, and another thing I was just going to point out too is, you know, being a good listener, you know, being accessible to the constituents is obviously a principle that's very important to me, but being a good listener is something I believe is a strong part of my skill set, but I try to continually improve in that area as well. Oftentimes, probably your KPQ listeners hear me on the radio from Olympia or here in the studio, and I'm often talking about the issues, but one of the most important, aspects of being an effective policymaker and being a good legislator is being a good listener. And so I just think that's really important. Probably being a good listener is more important than being a good speaker, because you got to listen and consider these issues and study them and before you cast the votes. And oftentimes you're talking about the things after you vote on them. So, you know, the talking is important, but even more so the listening.
So let's run down the dates. Tuesday, getting right at it, right after the holiday, September 3rd in Cashmere, and then in Leavenworth. On Wednesday, Quincy, Rock Island, and Wenatchee. Thursday, September the 5th, Mansfield, Pateras, and Twisp. And then Friday in Mazama and Chelan. And Saturday, wrapping up on the 7th in Chelan with a community hike at the Chelan Butte Trailhead. Is that the listening huffing and puffing part of the tour?
I definitely do a lot of huffing and puffing, but you know, that's kind of an idea I had. Like I said, we did Saddle Rock the first year. We did Patterson Mountain up in Winthrop last year. And then this year, this was an idea that came to us from the Lake Chelan Trails Alliance. And so we said, yeah, let's do that. And it's just, it's a good way to connect with people in a unique and different way. And it is a little bit of political talk and walk kind of at the same time. We do talk issues, but you know, you get some people there that you might not get at an individual sit down. You know, people do appreciate the opportunity to meet sort of privately in their smaller groups or individually, but sometimes there's just a different dynamic too when you get everybody together. And so usually I do a little bit of an introduction at the beginning, and then we hike the trail. So that starts on Saturday. It's September 7th. We begin at 9 a.m. at the Chelan Butte Trailhead. So we do have Representative Mike Steele, who's going to join us, the Chelan Mayor Mike Cooney, and other officials that will be joining in. So it'll be a lot of fun.
So what have you identified some legislative priorities for this upcoming session that you'd like to kind of touch on while we have you here today?
Yeah, I definitely have been considering those for actually many weeks, and I want to keep my mind open because there might be some new ideas that come as a result of this listening tour or other outreach that I have with local stakeholders in the fall. In the fall is traditionally the time when legislators connect with constituents and try to start thinking about, you know, their legislative agenda or developing legislation, because this session is going to be very short. It's about 60 days. And you, when you back out the holidays, we're only there for about 40 days in Olympia doing the heavy lifting. Things move very quickly during a shorter session. And one of the bills that I proposed last year that passed out of the Senate Ways and Means Committee but didn't advance to the Senate floor for consideration related to hydropower tax treatment. So our state has this policy of providing tax exemptions and tax treatment to all of these renewable energy resources, wind, solar, geothermal, tidal, but not hydropower. And hydropower is a clean, renewable resource that provides a lot of stability to the electric system for other non-hydro renewables. And I've been working closely with Chelan PUD in the interim to consider that legislation again for this next year. So we're in the process right now of developing that legislation. Then I'll get a chance to connect with Steve Wright, the Chelan PUD general manager, and Tracy Yunt and some of the others there, and along with Grant PUD, and really make a determination later in the fall whether we should pursue that wholeheartedly during the legislative session. But if so, that's probably going to be one of my top legislative priorities, along with some of these other ideas that might come from this or budget considerations. If it's not an individual piece of legislation that I sponsor, sometimes I sponsor separate budget items. And we were successful last year, for example, working with the Port of Douglas County and the Douglas County Commissioners and a whole host of other stakeholders in securing $4 million in state funding for the Wenatchee Landing Sewer Extension. So sometimes pursuing a budget appropriation is just as much work as an individual piece of legislation. And so I'll be considering those budget requests as well.
So you mentioned the very first listening tour ultimately led to an opportunity to provide an opportunity to burn some of that vegetation because of the apple maggot quarantine impact on and then transporting some of that vegetation for the folks up in the Leavenworth area. Initially, I thought that was kind of an experimental process. Is that now a permanent capability now as a result of that legislation, or where does that sit now?
Yeah, well, you have a good memory, Dave. That's exactly what the issue was related to that.
I remember some of the highlights.
Quarantine line, yeah. And so what we decided to, you know, doing any sort of limited burning, you know, within a city limits was really, you know, the department, I had to work with the Department of Ecology and the city of Leavenworth officials and all this, and it was actually quite a bit of work to get that bill across the finish line. But what we had basically set up was a short-term pilot project. And we have a certain number of years to let that pilot project work out. And then we're going to try to reassess that. And if that's successful, which I believe it has been, then we can look at doing something like that and making it permanent in state law. So sometimes what I've learned in the legislative route is you got to celebrate your incremental successes. And so sometimes you pursue things like on a short-term basis and then try to come back to the legislature and say, see, that wasn't such a big deal. We were able to do that successfully. Let's provide this opportunity, not just for a city like City of Leavenworth, but let's provide this opportunity for other communities statewide. And so those are the types of things, hopefully in my second term serving in the state Senate, that I'll be able to pursue.
And then you've been trying to get a project up in the Nason Creek area, and close but not quite. So what can you update us on that that effort?
Yeah, so that relates to this idea of a community forest, and again, another pilot project, which I scaled down the idea to and tried to advance that, where basically there's these pockets of forest land in our state that may not be privately owned, but and then, you know, not owned by the U.S. Forest Service or other, you know, state DNR. So there's always this patchwork of, you know, ownership. But in some of these cases, you have to determine, well, who's the best logical owner for some of these pockets of land? And one of them is the Nason Ridge Forest area outside of Lake Wenatchee. And a lot of community stakeholders really want there to be some sort of local ownership. And currently, the Chelan Douglas Land Trust is working with the Western Rivers Conservancy to try to ultimately help out, raise some money to be able to acquire that somehow. And Chelan County, for example, might be a logical owner of that. And but then how the community can help manage that collectively to the community's benefit, but also achieve some really important forest health treatments like selective thinning and other things like that, and how to balance the needs for that for recreation purposes is important. So that is an idea that I had some success with last legislative session, and we got it through the Senate, and we got some funding secured in the Senate proposal, but we didn't advance it in the House. So I haven't, I'll get a chance to meet with the Land Trust during the listening tour, but I think part of the idea there is, since we had so much success in the Senate last year, but not in the House, related to that community forest pilot project idea, that maybe we should start this year in the House. So I presumably they're reaching out to Representative Gaynor and Representative Steele to kind of get that process started there. Because not everybody knows this, but in order for a bill to become law or an idea to be funded, it needs to pass not only the state Senate, but it also needs to pass the state House. Or if an idea is proposed in the state House, it has to also pass the state Senate and then be signed by the governor. And I'll tell you that the signing of the by the governor is no guarantee either, because the governor uses his veto pen occasionally as well. So, you know, it's there's a lot of work that goes into any piece of legislation or any budget appropriation. But I look forward to rolling up my sleeves this next session and going to work again for the people of the 12th District. And one of the things I just want to say here at the end, Dave, is if people that are out there listening can't make the listening tour, no problem. I'm available year-round, and I'm interested in hearing what your thoughts and ideas are about state government. So contact me at my email, which is brad.hawkins@leg.wa.gov, or my website, senatorbradhawkins.org, or you know, there's information for calling my office, too, or sending us paper letters. We work hard and move heaven and earth to make sure every constituent gets a response.
Okay, one more time on the website, because I think that's probably the easiest to remember for listeners at this particular moment.
Yeah, senatorbradhawkins.org, and you can learn about this listening tour or the past legislation, you know, my contact information as well. We have staff in Olympia that help us, and we're eager to help. I believe that these positions exist to serve the people who elect you, and so if there's any questions or concerns people have, we're willing to do the research and get back to you.
And again, if you'd like to make an appointment to be at the dates next week for the listening tour, make that through Senator Brad Hawkins' office. They start next week. Appreciate the time today, and we'll be looking forward to we'll make some more appointments for you here on the agenda before you head off this winter for the session. When's the first day?
First day of session is the second Monday in January. So whenever that falls, that's what the state law dictates.
All right. Hope you get a great turnout on the listening tour, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. Thanks for having me on.